All right, good. Well, welcome everybody. Nice to see everyone this morning. When I think about genealogy, I think of it mainly involving the three R's, which are research, recording, and sar-arsing. Or if you want to be a little bit stricter about the R, the third one could be responsibly recording your sources. And, of course, showing where the repositories are of the material. The subject today, sourcing, is one that I think is quite central to TMG. In fact, I don't think any of us would really be going to all the trouble of being TMG users if we weren't concerned about sources, because sources are so fundamental to sharing what we have learned, the details of what we have learned with other people. So this is a very important chapter, and I'll start this first part with a summary of what's there in Terry Regal's chapter, which is titled Working with Sources. Now, as he says, working with sources involves three main parts. One is the inputting the source information. Second is properly citing the sources to the information on your tags. And third is identifying the repositories where the sources can be found. That's pretty straightforward. One of the features of TMG, it's very, very important, is that once you have inputted your source or your repository, you just have to do that one time. And so you call that entering or defining your source. But once it's in there, you can cite it for innumerable tags. And similarly, as we know, any tag can have an innumerable number of sources, unlimited. Another feature of TMG is that it has automatically formatted full footnotes, short footnotes, and bibliographic entries appropriate to the various source types that we'll talk about later. So that's all basically done for us. Now, a couple of three definitions are in order here about these main terms that we're using this morning. First is that what is a source? Terry Regal defines it as something from which we have obtained information. It may be a printed or electronic document, an object such as a tombstone, or even a memory or a family story. Anything that is worth writing down, we think. A citation links the information recorded in a tag to the source of that information. In addition to identifying where the information comes from, this citation may also provide important additional details. Okay. And then repository is a place where a source can be found. Repositories can be archives, libraries, courthouses, or just your personal library, your desk drawer, or you know, the pile that's over there on the floor in your yeah. It's a little bit of a stretch to call it a repository, but that's where it is. Okay. Now let's start with a couple of words about source types. Now, source types are found, if you can follow me, you see my cursor blinking away there, isn't that nice? I just learned this. Okay, we go down in tools to source types. And in there we see the list of the roughly 100 source types that have been set up. The the entries and report outputs relating to source types are based on, but are not necessarily identical to what's in either evidence or evidence explained by Elizabeth Shawn Mills. When we get to chapter 15, we'll be able to talk about the more complex issues of customizing the source types to meet our individual needs. But right now, we're going to just stay with what we have available in the sample project. Okay, you should all be familiar with the source types. Okay. Now, defining a source or setting up a source, you have to decide what it is that you want to, what kind of a source you want it to be. Well, we go to start that process by going again to Tools, and in this case, the Master Source List. Okay, this is what we have in the sample. Now, if you want to have a new one, you go over here to Add, and you go back to that same screen we were looking at earlier. Let's say that we want to go to Bible record. You go on to Bible, and you can double-click it, of course, and you can select it, but don't add it. Because if you go to add, you're just going to say what is the new kind of source type that you want to create, and that's not what we want to do. We want to select it. So we'll just select it. And that's what is there. Then what we should do is we fill in as many of these marked areas as we can. Now, when we're doing a new source, we don't leave the abbreviation field blank. This is important because it's the abbreviation that is mainly the way that we, that is mainly used for putting the sources in some kind of order in the master source list, generally alphabetical order as we see here. The title is also very important because it is used for full footnotes and bibliographies, and it can be used to sort in the master source list as well. So let me just show you in the master source list, you know, it can be sorted a number of different ways, one of which is abbreviation, which we have now, and then there's also the by title. And if it's by title, then we're no longer in our alphabetical order, although they use the same wording. But if you want to know what it looks like in the full title side, you go over to this funny little button down here, which says More, which is actually not More, but this is the road to More. We are now in Less. I don't know why they did it this way, but anyway, if you hit More, you go over to this, which suddenly gives you the same sources that you have in an alphabetical order by the titles. Over in this More side, with the less arrow to take you back to less, it also shows you how the reports would work out. The way that each of these different styles, so if you wanted to show it, correspondence looks like, as I just did. It's like this. It's pretty handy in that sense. But this is another way to sort it. Now, you could be in here as well, over here in the more, and have yourself organized by abbreviation. But that, then if you're organized by abbreviation over here, it's the abbreviation alphabetization, but it's not, it's pretty hard to understand where the heck you are and what you're doing. So anyway, those are some things about the organization of the master source list, which were new to me. Okay, I want to go back to the, I want to go back, any one of these, you can, let's say we're going to do a Bible record here. If you fill out any of these, or as many as you can, the source type, the Bible title, the short title, the family information, everything, then you, that's fine. But you can add additional ones. For example, over here, if you have a blank one of these, if you just hit it, you go, and that brings up the source elements list. And let's say you've got your Bible record, and you want to, for some reason, want to add something like a series. Call it a series. You can go over here, click on series, double click on series, or click on it and select it, and next thing you know, you have series. If you're not quite sure what to put into one of these source definition screens, you can come up here to the light, and it's the reminder light, and you click it, and lo and behold, you have this very hard to read screen, which tells you some things about what you might put in, or what you, they say, you probably should put in for your Bible title, short Bible title, family information, the present owner, publication, and so on. You'll notice that some of these, whenever you are working, have those little arrows on the side, as the edition does here. And it says over here that edition, enter the edition information, and that says optional. So when you see these on your source definition screen, with these things on the side, they don't, it means it's optional whether to put it in. And that, I think, also means that it doesn't get printed in the output forms. Is that right?
It doesn't get printed in the output if there's nothing in the edition field.
But if there is, it does get printed?
No,
it's printed. Okay, all right. It does. I'm sorry, I'm wrong about that. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. So this information over here may be helpful to you or may not, but if you're confused, it's certainly a good reference point. Yes.
You added that new element. Series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a way that you can also add that to your reminder record so that you know what series is, what kind of data goes there?
Yes, there is, but I don't know what it is. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I'll see if I can find
something. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Okay, let's look at the top of the source definition field, because up there we have these four tabs: general, which we have now, which is the general one, we have the supplemental, we have the attachments, and we have the output form. We can Let's see. I'm going to put up a different one to show this. Oops, no. Yes, I do. I want to take up this this particular Wills, Washington County, Tennessee one, because I think it's kind of interesting. So we can, in this case, if you want to see it, you can double-click it, or you can edit. Either one will get you it right there. I did the edit. So here we have the general information, which is very short. And then we go over to supplemental. What have we got here? There's nothing in supplemental at the moment. You can put comments in there. You're going to have reminders to yourself about the sort where you got it, maybe. Anything you want to put in there. In attachments, you notice that this one doesn't have an attachment. And the reason is it doesn't have an attachment in the sample is that, I mean, does it doesn't, I'm sorry, it doesn't have a repository. I mean, the reason it doesn't have a repository is that it is a published work. And if it's published work generally available, then you don't necessarily need to put in a repository, which you can do if it's, you know, a personal copy or something like that. Then we'll go over to the output form, which is most important. Okay, the output form reveals how TMG intends to use the data for report footnotes or a bibliography. You want to see how it would read? You go to the preview right here. All right, so up here we have Goldin Filler Burger Compiler, Washington County, Tennessee, Will, 1777, 1872, 1983 reprint, Greenville, South Carolina, Southern Historical Press, 1992. So that's how it would look. You see at the end here, oops, where am I? And over here you have CD, and that is citation detail, which is found when you're doing your citation. It can go in here. When there's a report based on your tag, on your citation, and then the source information that you have here. The same, of course, goes for the short footnote preview, just Bergner, Washington County, Tennessee, Wills, CD, and for the bibliography, which is, I don't need to read out to you, but you can see that it's done in proper bibliographic style. Okay. How are we doing so far? Is this okay? All right. Okay. Now we get to the part about citing sources. Okay, let's think of how we're going to have a new source for Frank Alexander. Frank Alexander has lots of occupations already, but I think we might want to give him another occupation just for fun. And there are two ways to start this whole process. And if you have one of the buttons up here, there's a third one, but there are two that I like to use. One is to hit F4. Just hit good old F4. If I can find it on this. I know it is. Nope, that's not it. Okay. Whoops. All right. Let's not fool around here. Okay. Is that right? That looks like F4. But all right. Let's just right click. And if you're working with a new computer in the dark, all you have to do is go into this area and right click, and it says add a tag. I think we should all be familiar with that. So let's add a tag. And since we're here and we're going to add a tag, I like to avoid as much clicking as possible. And if you just are in here and you hit O, bingo, you get to occupation. Yeah. So if I'm looking, yeah.
But you hit the first. You hit the first.
That's right. Yeah. And, or if I wanted to go to note, I would go to. I might go to N, but then I'd be up at name baptism. I'd have to scroll down to note, but it's closer. But anyway, occupation is one of those that you can just get to automatically. I think.
No, Paul. You don't get to occupation automatically. You get to the first O element.
That's right. Well, that's what I mean. The first O element being occupation, unless I put in a new source type that is, you know, sort of obvious or something, put in something for the B, that would be the first one. So anyway, it's always fun when you do these things to learn new things. Okay. So... this is what we're going to, so we're going to add, or I mean, sorry, we're going to select this. Okay, now we have gone to the this, which I consider that this is the citation screen here for this new occupation for Frank Alexander. So there are three ways we go into the citation business. The first is to go here, the second is to here, and the third is here. Okay. I think the first is simple enough. We just go here and cite something we already have. All right. The second is to repeat the last citation, which if I hit, I don't know what the last citation would be. It would be, oh, it would be the Alexander Keebler Bible. All right, I don't need that. And then the third one is to repeat recent citations. And in this case, we have the Alexander Keebler Bible and tombstones from Round Hill Cemetery. So I could pick any one of those. I believe I could get to those through... Is that right? F3? Yes. Yeah, for example, if I just want to go to this repeat last citation, I go F. Yeah. I know where I'm
supposed.
I understand, but it's probably the third one over. Oops, no. Let's. Is everybody able to do F3 themselves and find the right answer? Good, that's great. Okay. And the second one, the last one, the repeat recent citations is, I believe, Control F3.
No, it's
not. Okay, Control F3. Those are ways we can do this. Now, we've been talking about a new. New citation in that sense, but let's go in and go within an existing source, and let's go to this one, for example, of I'm double clicking on occupation. And perhaps I want to add a new source to this occupation tag for Frank Alexander. So if I add new citation, if I knew what the source was, I could just put the number up here. Or I could go to the binoculars and hit that. Okay? As it happens that I know the number. So I'm going to put in 127. yeah, 127, and say, okay, whoops, oh, yes, continue. Well, wait a minute. You don't have 127?
One colon 27.
Yeah, sorry. All right. Okay, so I'll continue anyway. What the heck? All right, so that was what I did. That was Jones roughly. Now I want to go back and I'm going to double click on this because I want to look at it some more. I want to go up here, and we can put in this area, we can put in any citation detail we might want to have. Now that might be a page number, an email date, or anything. Generally, citation detail is pretty short. We also can go to the citation memo area, and most people, as I understand it, use citation memo for voluminous material or a textual material. You might have a paragraph from the article that you're citing, or the book you're citing, or the full text of the deed or the obituary or whatever it might be, going into the citation memo. The reference down here, I don't know, does anybody ever use these references down here? This is the reference in here. This is I think people who have some kind of a numbering system of their own, personal file system or whatever, can use it. Yes. Uh-huh. I see. Yeah. You know, Lee James Irwin, who is the current president of the Ferrick Genealogical Society, told me that he has some kind of numbering system for all of his references. Every single reference that he has a number. So, and he may use it for that. But anyway, this is what it is, what it's for. Okay, now we get to the sureties. You see we see the sureties over here. Okay, what are these sureties? All right, the first is the principal person. Second is the second principal. If there is a second one, this is the date, the place, and this is the memo. All right, so what exactly are you supposed to put in there for sureties? Some of you can correct me from your own experience or what you understand to be the right way to do these things. But first of all, in each one of these, you can put in a minus, a zero, a one, a two, or a three. The minus is there if you think there's something wrong here, but you're putting it in your data anyway. I don't know what zero means. I would think that zero is about the same as minus. Why you would say I have zero surety, I would think that would be pretty similar to saying I have virtually no surety. But one, two, or three. And two is the default, such as it is. In the case of the principles, as I understand it, it means, does this source or this citation to a source actually refer to that principle or not? You know, it could be a very good source, but maybe it's to somebody other than the principle. So that is where you indicate your confidence or lack thereof in that respect. The date, you know, is pretty obvious, and the place, those are obvious. And then the memo, do you think that this, basically, I think you think that this information in general is valuable, accurate or not. So that's what we have for sureties. When we get to the exercises, we can fiddle with this a bit. And if you have any questions, you can bring them up at that point. Okay. Let's talk a bit about repositories. Okay, repositories are up here through tools and the master repository list. All right, there is the master repository list we have for this project at the moment. You can get to the master repository list in other ways, sort of working your way through the source, for example. But this is the simplest way to get there, and this is what you should be doing if you're going to add a new repository, for sure. So when, let's say we want to add one. Okay, up here you've got an abbreviation, and the abbreviation is basically what you see on the list, the master repository list. Abbreviation has no meaning as far as alphabetization or the order there. As you can see, this would be repository number 1:9. So they're in that order. The order of entry, unless you go into the list and change it around, which you might want to do for some reason. The name other, I think, is a misnomer down here, because this is where you put in the kind of information that you would use in identifying an address. So this terminology really needs explanation, right? Abbreviation could be, my holding or something, or but the name other could be your own name, or you could put up here, NARA for abbreviation. Other could be National Archive. What is it? National Archives and Records Administration. That of course can also go down in the addressee list with also your details. And you can put in anything you want in these addresses. And you might want to have a memo to say something interesting about this particular repository. So put the repository's official designation in the name other field, in other words, because that's the language which will be included in the footnotes and the bibliographies. Let's see if there's more to point out about this. Yes,
I have a question.
Yeah.
So I've gone off to the Records Administration found this one from
the source that I've never had before. Yeah.
Should I start with adding the source here
in
the repository and checking that before I start linking to my ancestors?
Yes, I think so. If you get a book, or you get a document, or you get whatever it is, I think the best thing to do is to create a source. And then as you're doing the source, do a repository too. Link it to a repository. Once you get into the master repository list, which is at the top of that other screen, which is the master, is that the master source screen? And on the right hand side, you can go in there. Once you get here, you see, here it is, and then you can go to add, and you can add right from there your NARA if you don't already have NARA. If you don't already have, he has NARA, National Archives already, but you can add NARA in your own. as the repository. I think we all need to have NARA as one of our repositories. This is, I wanted to show you what, you can have a look at what the name other is. It says abbreviation here, but if you look down here, you see name other, basically. And you have anything that might be in the memo field. Is in this particular example, when you get to Presbyterian Church, there it is. So you could say, this is the formal name, Presbyterian Church in the United States of America. And there's a memo saying, this was the address of 13 August 1937. Who knows what it is today? Yes?
Is that, so where do you have 10 different Presbyterian churches that have records in, you know, of your family? What is the type of record that you would put in a general Presbyterian church? Do you, this is a source or a repository?
We're in repositories now. And if you have records from 20 different Presbyterian churches, as far as I know, you should have 20 different repositories because there's no way to kind of... This is not really a lump or splitter issue. You can't just say Presbyterian churches as your repository, because you've got to be able to let the person who's going to use your information go and check out the same... check out whatever it was.
Church of the United States of America as the name.
This is the headquarters. Yeah, right.
This is the master repository.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. If you got the record and you know the record is there, that they have collected it. I come from Methodists, and the Methodists are everywhere. There's nobody, unfortunately, who's got those. But the Presbyterians probably are better organized, and may well have the, you know, the churches, the outlying churches records, like you would do for a Quaker, for example, a Quaker collection or something like that. So,
so when we get to the Smythe County desk, you know, there's 17 different families that lived and died in Smythe County, but there's one repository, Smythe County Desk. You go to the Smythe County courthouse.
The Smythe County what event?
Come down here. We've got the Smythe County Desk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the one place that all the deaths are recorded.
Uh-huh, right.
But you can point to a lot of different family members from that one.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, right.
And in my example, you know, most everything has moved to Maryland. There's a one Maryland archives where everything is now. Out of county courthouses, so I can't remember the name of it right now, but Maryland Records.
Yeah.
But out of that Maryland Hall of Records, then as I'm doing the source citation, now it's this county and then it's that county. But it's all the repository
of
the Maryland Hall of Records.
That's right. Yeah. Where would you send your nephew to find what you have just put into TMG? Where could that person go? Online or by foot? That's the deal, right? And yeah. So just to remind for citations. Let's just add a tag and we just want to do a baptism and we want to add a new citation, and we go to the Alexander Keebler Bible, double click it, I'm sorry. Cancel.
Yeah, Franklin probably did it in his family's Bible record, unless he did his father's.
Okay, I'm just okay. Let's just go back to tools, master source list, and adding a new source. And as we did Bible record, double clip Bible record, I just want to go back to the source definition screen, because I think this is the most important. Is that you have you've got your new source. And I'm just trying to emphasize it. When you have your new source here, and you're on the general thing, and you go to the attachment screen, okay, you should have an attachment. Okay, you don't. You may not have an attachment to your source, that because you may not. You may not have an existing repository. So if you go and you hit the Add New Repository, and then it shows the repository list entry screen, and you go to the binoculars, that'll give you your list of existing repositories, and then you go to add to this, and here you are ready to put in the church or the library or whatever it is, and you can do your repository this way. You don't necessarily have to go to tools and master repository list and set it all up, kind of the way you normally would do for your sources. Your repositories you can have as kind of an add-on to the other source information, the basic sort of bibliographic source information. All right.
So it doesn't matter which order that you add them.
No.
Numbers don't matter when you do it. That's just like your citation. It doesn't matter in what order you put in a citation.
Well,
you don't have to do when you start out with yourself. You don't have to put everything in order. The numbers, like one, say, would be my birthday,
or something like that. You put
them
in the order in which you need. You get them
in your. It doesn't matter what,
because
it prints out.
It's going to print out. If you print in my source, ID number, they're going to come out in order. If you sort them by a title, they'll come out sorted by that title.
But it doesn't matter what number they are.
No.
It doesn't matter, but it does a little bit in this particular repository list. If you have a really big repository list, it's a big pain because you can't remember which one it was. You have to scroll down and figure it out. And so I have, in here there is something called renumber. Do you see renumber here? See? And you could go in here and you say, I don't really want the first one to be the Sergel collection. I want it to be the Blackburn collection. And to have it up there, then you remember, I'm always one. So every time you want to do the repository, you just hit one and then you're finished. So if there's one that you use all the time, move it up to the front. And then you don't have to remember that it's your number 17 or, you know, Blackburn Collection is number 17. And one is a lot easier to remember.
Now, is that the way, can you do the same thing with your citation?
No, with your sources, no.
The sources, you mean, when you say this?
Yeah, right, yeah.
You can't remember those.
Not in the same way. No, you have to change what it says in the abbreviation so that you can get it in a different order. For example, see, this is all by the order in which things came in. But if I close this, then I'm looking at here. I'm looking at the. Oops, I'll close this too. Here is my master source list, and this is all nicely alphabetized. So that's the way we remember. So if you want to have something about yourself, and you put your last name, or even your first name, in the abbreviation for the source, because Alexander Keebler Bible, and I just double-clicked that. Sorry, I didn't double-click it in the right place. Here it is. So I've double. So that's because it says Alexander Frank, letter 1915 up here. That's where it is right here on the master source list.
So when you're putting these sources in, you have to think about if you want to
have. You put them in as you get them, but you give them titles so that you can pull them back and recall them easily. Like all the census records start out with census, comma, year, county, and state. So you can, like today, I think Paul entered one for 18, and go down, scroll down a little bit lower, Paul. Did you enter one for 1880?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to get out of here. And, yeah, so we have a census for 1880.
So he just entered that one, like, for this exercise today.
And
no, it's because you sold it by their abbreviation.
We
talked about that earlier today.
Yeah. So this is sorted by abbreviation. Yeah. Interesting. Actually, when Mike put this in, this particular item in, and I'll just show you something to make it's interesting, I think. Okay, if we edit this, we go up to here to edit it. And if we were to not have no space between the comma and Tazewell County, Virginia, for example, if we were to go up here and do that and put a space in there, as he had before, then the
close.
What? Do I have to do that?
I don't
know. All right. Okay. So now if I go back to the master source list, would you like to close it? No. What have I done to myself? Oh. Okay. Anyway, here too. I'm just, you know. What has happened here? Sorry. Here's the deal. It's the space. For some reason, it's the space after this. After this comma, that will do it, I think. Yes, okay. You see, with census 1880 moved up here
because of the
space. Yeah. So this is, you got to be very careful about these abbreviations, because and your punctuation and so on, because it can throw your, you know, this is fine, this is a small sample, it's a small database, but if you fiddle around and are inconsistent, the TMG is pretty unforgiving.
So you just have to remember how
you
put it in.
Yeah.
That's why the reminder string is important.
Get the master source list up there. You know how you did it last time.
I'm sorry?
I'm just saying, to remember how to stay consistent, just get the master list up there and you're adding a new one. So you can see how you did it last
time. That's right. Yes, that's true. Very true. That's good advice. See, okay.
Wow. There's a few other ones in that same list.
What are we?
Census year and the county.
All right. Okay. So I think we're good to. What's happened here? Oh, sorry. All right. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to get it all sorted out, and then we'll be okay. There we go. Here we are. Yeah, that's where it was. I was in the wrong county. happened before. All right, and then so this should get it back into the yeah. So this is how you do it. Just watch out. There is one thing I wanted to show you on on this screen, and I wanted to ask if anybody has any comments about it, and that is attachments. There is something called sources for the source, as you can see here. And I just wonder if any of you use sources for the source. We could, you know, if we had, we can always do that. But does anyone here use it? Okay. Nobody says they have used it. I think you can, and we're going to have an example, an exercise coming up after we break, which is just within 60 seconds, where we will try that, because sometimes it's a good idea if your source is somebody told you something, maybe, and you want to know where did that person get it from, or you see a photograph of something and you say, okay, the photograph is my source, but it's actually a photograph of something else, which is another source, possibly. So, anyway, we can talk about that later. Okay, yes, one.
Is there a place to put an actual physical attachment of the page that you are using to like a will. You can scan
and see
the will and attach it somewhere?
Yeah. Let me see now.
Or a physical PDF copy of the Bible record, or one of the actual original
records. You can always use exhibits.
Well, that's what I'm trying to
say. What's like a camera?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the exhibit, yeah, I think, is that right up here? Is that right? I haven't used this, but there's nothing there, but you can have a, yes, you can. I'm afraid I can't tell you how to do it, though. I can't show you how to do it, but yeah.
Well, there it is in that on the top. Okay. Go to the, take your cursor up to the top. There, right there.
Well, yeah, you can sure, you can put it in as an exhibit for the person, for sure. I mean, that's fine. I mean, you could go in here and you have it, and you can go here, right click, and insert the new image from that. That's what you can, for sure you can do that. But I'm just saying, to attach it to a particular citation, I'm pretty sure you can do it, but I don't know how to do it. Let's say
you had a microfilm record of 1850 census for Fairfax County. Would that be an example of the kind of attachment that you would like to do?
Where you see in original the whole context of that particular.
Isn't there an attachment label on one of those source records?
You can attach an exhibit to a citation. You go and you open up the citation, there's an exhibit.
Yeah, up here? Is this what you're talking about?
Open one of those citations down there.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
See the little exhibit button up there? Scroll up. I mean, top right. Yeah, there.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
Like the will right there.
Ah, thank you. That's the answer to the question. I was floundering around, and it. I have to say, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like a camera to me, but I guess if I squint at it, I can see a camera there. Okay, all right. All right, we have some exercise. I hope everybody has picked up the exercise sheet. We got four exercises to look at after our break, you might want to look at them in advance, but we'll have time to consider them in some detail as we go along. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. I don't know if we can do this, if you're going to address it or not. But in the Master Sources, you have the title of the source, and then you have the number of times that particular source is used, once or 20 or whatever.
Yeah.
Is there a way to generate a report that lists the places where that source was cited?
List of citations in the reports.
List of citations, and that will say where that citation is used.
Yeah, it'll give you a whole line.
Okay, if you go
the person and.
Okay, so you go under see report, and I'm sure you know how to do this, but there here's list of, and there's citations, and according to Mike, that will.
I read about this the other day. I don't use it myself.
Okay. So here is the list of citations.
Right.
Someplace you can select all or some.
Yeah.
All are selected right now.
No, I see.
So go ahead and just run a report.
Create report?
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
Yeah.
There's 670 citations.
Okay.
All right. 607, I mean. And there's the Bible, all the citations for the Bible.
And who the person is.
Yeah.
And what their roles were.
Oh, okay. I never got
an answer. How's that?
I was looking for it. I just couldn't find it.
This
list of citations.
Yeah, but where do you find that?
Okay, here. Watch my hand. Watch my hand. There's nothing in up my sleeve. Okay. Go to reports. Go down to list of. Go over to citations. All right? And then we just ran that report you just saw.
You can use a filter group or you can use any features of reports. In this case, all of them, the radio button is checked.
Okay.
So you get all the people that are, all the citations or all the sources that are in and who they report to.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, are we ready for... All right. Okay. Let's have a break.